Good morning. Morning. So wonderful to see everyone gathered together for our morning worship service. Excited for all that God has in store this morning. If you're a guest with us or have visited before and have never filled out a guest card, we have those located right in front of you and love to have a record of you being here. So if you could fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate, that would give us a record of your attendance. And we're so thankful that you've chosen to worship with us together this morning as our church. Couple announcements to make sure we're all on the same page about a few things before we begin our worship service. I'd like to just thank all the leaders and teachers and everyone that got Awana started last Sunday. Wednesday nights were started as well. Just tremendous to see all the leaders and teachers that are invested in so many ways with our children and youth. Very exciting to see that begin again, starting for the fall. A reminder that the Baptist men are still collecting everything that they can. Clothes-wise, food-wise, for Kentucky. No toys at this time, but blessing everyone that's going with clothing and with non-perishable food would be tremendous to take along the trip. And, you know, the end of the hall in the newer building is where they're collecting everything. And if you have boxes, those will come in very handy as well. Also, I was given a note just to remind everyone that the older pillows that used to be in the pews are now in the smaller kitchen. And if anyone would like one of those, to please feel free to take one before they are no longer here. And one more reminder, just to draw your attention to a piece of information in the bulletin for the first time. Friday, October 4th, the children's ministry will be taking the children and families to dinner and going to a corn maze. So I'd love to have everyone sign up for that. Information is on the sign-up sheet in the atrium. So are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Saturday, James 127 day. We altered slightly the way we're going about recruiting everyone for that. So if you haven't been contacted necessarily to help with a certain project for that day, please contact me and I'll make sure that you are able to be plugged in, meeting about 9, 9:30 Saturday morning, depending on which location you're going to. Several families helping at these locations, some of our church members, and we'll finish with lunch afterwards. Any other announcements?
Ma'am?
Yes.
We have FSYC practice today from 3:30 to
4:30. FSYC practice 3:30 today. Very good. All right, seeing no other announcements, let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. God, we come before you this morning excited and humbled and thankful that you have called us together. Lord, you have brought us together to worship you. This morning you're going to help us investigate what it means to worship you and take an inventory on our understanding of how to worship you, Lord. Free our hearts and our minds from distractions this morning so we are able to be in your presence and be changed by your presence, ready for the week before us to share your gospel with those we come in contact with. Lord, we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Now let us spend a few moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Let's turn in our hymnals to page 524. We are marching to Zion, and all that we do, we need to be progressing towards that time when we reach heaven. Page 524, let's all stand.
Down here, if you already haven't made your way down. So good to see all of you here. So I want to make sure I can see all of you down here as we're talking this morning. You know, each and every Sunday morning, I always like to ask a question. And so this morning, before I ask the question, I want you to think about what your favorite toy is, no matter what it is. Because I want you to tell me, what is your most favorite toy of all the things you have? What is your most favorite? Somebody tell me your most favorite. Yeah. Tractor, love it. John Deere tractor, that. Love it. Yeah. Oh, a collection of seashells. I love that. That's wonderful. What else? Blueberries? Those blueberries. I love it. I love it. What about you, Maggie? Your favorite toy? You got your My Little Pony, of course. I love that. I love it. Now, let me ask you this. Think of your most favorite toy. What would happen? Oh, yeah, we've got one more. Most favorite toy?
The train.
The train? Oh, I love that. I like that. I like that. Now, think about this. What if you lost or misplaced your favorite toy? What would you do if you lost your favorite toy? Wouldn't you look for it? You start looking for it. My guess is if you lost it, you'd look for it until you found it, right? When if you begin school, usually you begin, and at most schools, they have a lost and found. At the beginning of school, usually the lost and found isn't very full, right? But as the school year goes on, the lost and found becomes more full. So I have like a small version of lost and found here a school might have, right? You might see things like a little shoe, right? How would you miss a shoe? How would you walk out of school without a shoe? Think about that. Now, you might have a jacket. Sometimes you might have a jacket that you misplace, and usually you would figure that out because it's chilly when you leave versus when you came in, right? You might even have a pair of sunglasses, right? You can tell where these came from, right? Okay. Might even have a toy. I think I've got a keychain in here. Several things people might have misplaced, they've lost. And like I was mentioning, if people lose something, usually they look for it until they find it. And so that brings us to our passage of Scripture this morning that I want you to listen to. It's two stories that Jesus tells us about something someone lost. So I want you to listen about how they found them, okay? And this is found in Luke chapter 15, all right? The first 10 verses. There's two stories here, okay? Now, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable, and he said this, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and lost one of the sheep, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until they find it? When he has found it, he'll lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. Or what about a woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the whole house and search for it until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." These two stories tell us about how God loves us very much. And sometimes, as children of God, which we all are, we get lost. And what I mean is, we forget that God loves us. And when we forget that God loves us, God spends all the time that he can to continue to remind us of how much he does love us until we remember that, okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for never giving up on us and always teaching us, reminding us of how much you love us. Lord, we thank you for that. In your son's name we pray. As you can see, Gary is not with us this morning. He is beginning a revival of sorts at another location. So be in prayer for him as we're now focusing towards our morning prayer concerns. As you see listed, several names there. Many names that we're continually in prayer for. And one name that you may have noticed recently that was added by the name of Jay Fred. And I have a report. The surgery was very successful for removing the bladder cancer. And he had a wonderful report of realizing they caught it early. So it was a blessing. And in answer prayer, he was ecstatic to share that news with me this past week after the surgery. So praise there. Keep praying for the process he's going through. Are there any other prayer concerns or updates we could have during this time as we look over all of our prayer concerns in our bulletins? Yes. Larry Keith. Okay, I did not know that. Should we lift up Tony Reagan as well? You see, there are several names always in our bulletin for us to pray for them about several different things. I hope we take that calling serious and spend time in this week praying for those names and continuing to lift them up, as God is always among them and with us as we pray for them as a church. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we come before you knowing you have brought a task of praying for those we care for deeply. Lord, we know that you are in control and we want to share our concern with you, share our passions with you as you reveal your will to us. Lord, we lift up all the names that are here among us now, praying for them earnestly. Remind us this week to pray for them, to see how your will be revealed through them. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Page 43, "This Is My Father's World," the composer or the author, was a pastor, and he would often tell his secretary, "I'm going out to view my father's world," and a lot of his sermons were formulated as he walked around his father's world. He had a church in a mountainous area, and I'm sure it was a very beautiful area and very inspiring for many of his sermons. Page 43, let's all stand.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for so many things that you have done for us and given to us. Please guide, lead, and direct us. Give us the words, wisdom, actions, patience, and understanding to do thy will. Please be with those in need and accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a blessing, what a reminder of Christ's love for us. Just a tremendous reminder of that. What a blessing. Well, let me ask you, have you ever heard the story of a preacher who decided to skip church one Sunday morning? And no, I'm not talking about Gary this morning. He is starting a preaching marathon, if you will. But there is a story of a preacher who skipped one Sunday morning to play golf. And it's actually a story about a preacher that skipped golf because he had simply just had enough of his church members doing that, because every Sunday on his way to the church building, he would drive by a golf course. And driving by the golf course during warm weathers, he would see church members playing golf. And it really wouldn't have bothered him so much if they had played golf and come to worship, but that really isn't what happened. No, they would golf and skip worship. So one Saturday evening, he decided he would show those church-skipping golfers, if they could do it, so could he. So he called in sick and said that they would have to find a fill-in person for the next morning's worship service. So the next morning, before dawn, he threw his golf clubs into his car and headed for a remote golf course about an hour away. He figured no one would really know him there. So by the time he arrived, the sun was coming up, and it looked like it was going to be a beautiful day. He paid to play just by himself and headed off to the first tee. Now, there had been an angel who was watching this preacher. And he was watching the preacher, and he was asking God, what are you going to do with this man who has lied about skipping church and being sick? He asked what you're going to do right as he was preparing to hit his first tee shot. And God said, well, just watch. Just watch. The angel was thinking, oh, wow, this man is really going to get it. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. Maybe God's going to zap him with a bolt of lightning right at the peak of his backswing here. I can't wait to see. But there was no bolt of lightning. There was no earthquake, no rain, just a perfect shot. In fact, it was a hole in one. The angel couldn't believe it. God, what gives? I don't understand, the angel blurted out. How could you let him hit a hole in one? I thought you were going to punish this man. God said, I did. Who's he going to tell? So, I'll let that sink in for a moment. Now, trust me, you're not going to have to worry about me skipping church to go play golf. That would be a punishment in itself because I would be chasing the ball more than anything else. But when we experience something that is wonderful, can't you relate? Don't you want to share that with somebody? Aren't you excited? You're just ready to burst to share great news with someone. Well, that's the way I feel during times of worship. I really can't wait to tell other people how God has revealed himself during a worship experience. Maybe it's through a song that sticks with me and is so moving that it stays with me that whole next week, and I want to share that with someone. And trust me, Leonard, it's not by singing, I assure you. That would not be the right way to share it. Maybe it's a message where the words of wisdom truly touch me and change the way I think and act the whole next week ahead. So let me ask you, do you look forward to our times of worship together on Sunday mornings? Do you really get excited to worship God together as a church? And you can't wait to tell other people about it, and you can't wait until the next week. Well, really, I struggled with a way to introduce our text this morning. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I really didn't know how to introduce it. And really, I had been struggling of how to talk and discuss about worship, which is our focus this morning. How we worship, why we worship, and what our worship is like. And really, it struck me. And really, suddenly at that, begin with the obvious. Begin with the fact that we are now in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, we're in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We know that to be true because Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered or more in my name, there I am among them. So let me repeat that. We are in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I mean, he's among us now. That's exciting to think about. That's astonishing, really. So that doesn't really create in you a sense of joy, a sense of excitement, even humility, maybe all three mixed up at the same time together. If that doesn't happen, I wonder what's gone wrong this morning so far. So that leads me to the passage of Scripture this morning that I would like everybody to turn to. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10. So I'll give everyone a moment to turn there. We'll begin with verse 19. So as you are turning to Hebrews chapter 10, 19, I'd like to ask if you are able to please stand with me to honor the reading and hearing of God's word. Hebrews 10, 19, And we'll close with verse 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we come to you this morning excited to see how you're going to reveal yourself to us through a powerful piece of scripture. Lord, awaken our hearts and our spirits so you can speak clearly to us this morning as we have the songs we have sung praises to your name and the message we are going to hear. Reveal yourself to us for the week ahead. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It helps to have a little background about the book of Hebrews. The author of this book is unknown, but the message within the book is extremely powerful. Passages within Hebrews allude to the fact that the intended audience is second-generation Christians after Christ's ascension into heaven. And that's important to know because as the author of Hebrews spends time trying to encourage the church, he does so in a way that shows us the recipients of this letter have knowledge of Jesus Christ and know what it means to live a Christ-like life. The audience is agreed by most theologians is a church that seems to be in some sort of crisis. The writer knew the readers and has a relationship with the readers. And this is important because the writer begins a series of bold and complex arguments that calls the audience to take their relationship with Christ that much more serious. And so Christ is the focus of our passage of Scripture this morning. And hopefully with Christ as the focus of our passage of Scripture, we'll also be able to connect to the encouragement from the writer of Hebrews to be able to more passionately worship God through our life and as a faith family. And I want us to sense a little tension that's within this passage of Scripture here. There's tension in knowing who Christ is and the life that he gives through his transformative love and the knowledge that that gives us to live differently, and that's pitted against knowing that and knowing who Christ is and doing nothing. You have that tension, that pendulum that swings both ways. So I believe one goal we must have this morning is to check and see how we worship. How we worship. John Piper is a pastor and a modern-day theologian. If you don't know who he is a tremendous speaker, tremendous preacher. And he has a quote that I believe helps us understand and furthers our conversation about worship that I'd like to share with you all this morning. And he says this. He says, "Aimlessness is akin to lifelessness. Dead leaves in the backyard may move around more than anything else, more than the dog, more than the children. The wind blows them this way, they go this way. The wind blows them that way, they go that way. They tumble, they bounce, they skip, they press against the fence, but they have no aim whatsoever. They are full of motion, yet empty of life." So I believe God wants us to investigate our worship this morning because he wants our corporate worship to be purposeful and full of life, as I believe it is. So let this morning be an inventory of sorts of how we approach the presence of Jesus Christ as the body of Christ. First and foremost, to worship God, we must have an individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ because worshiping God is an extension of one's confessing God. Confessing Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me repeat that. Worshiping God is an extension of one's confession of Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why the author of Hebrews begins this passage of Scripture reminding us we have the utmost confidence to enter the presence of God through Christ with faith. Meaning that since Jesus lived a perfect life on earth and chose to obey God and die on the cross and was raised from the dead, 3 days later, as Scripture foretold, we now have the opportunity to approach God through Christ with complete faith, and that's a call to worship him. We no longer have to wait anxiously outside the temple for the high priest to come out after offering a sacrifice, as the beginning of this passage explains. because we remember that Christ fulfilled the law. And since he fulfilled the law, we remember now we have individual access to God, our Creator. And this is extremely exciting because it calls us to pay close attention to the fact that we're actually now held accountable to understand that and to let our life be one that worships God. We must show God that once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we love him. And the first and foremost way we show God we love him once we've accepted Christ is to worship him. That's the most important part of following Christ. And there should be a never-ending desire to continue to worship God. Once we've experienced Jesus Christ's transformative power and love, that desire to worship God must increase and be continual. That's why verse 23 is so powerful. Certain translations say this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." I always found that word extremely powerful, unswervingly. The hope that we have as Christians is supposed to keep us focused on Christ always, no matter what. Because once we profess Jesus, we hold on to that hope. And we don't want anything to distract us from that hope. But however, there are distractions that surround us. And there are distractions that surrounded the audience the writer of Hebrews is writing to. It's been discussed that the church in crisis is experiencing difficult situations, possibly persecution, maybe negative outside influence of some sort, and possibly apathy from the delayed return of Jesus Christ. And I would argue that we face similar problems today as the church. Maybe we're not facing outright persecution, but I believe as a church we are persecuted, or maybe better put, ostracized, when we live boldly for Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that when we live boldly for Christ, it really doesn't make sense to the world around us. They see us put a spotlight on our life because of the way we are acting differently from them, and moreover, putting a spotlight on Jesus Christ. And we do odd, interesting things when we follow Christ boldly. Instead of spending all of our money on ourselves, we tithe, give 10% to the church. Instead of saving all our extra money for vacations, we spend money on people we may or may not know. We buy school supplies, sewing dolls, traveling to the Baptist girls and boys' homes, traveling to another church in another state, buying food for people we know are in need, buying Christmas gifts for people on the angel tree, donating money to the local missions. We also may spend a Saturday morning or a Monday evening working for someone else, packing shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child or helping someone else that's in need in their yard. We kind of do interesting things when we follow Christ and live for him. When we do those things, the world around us looks and wonders, why are we not conforming to worldly desires? And I've heard it said that if our life makes complete sense to those who are not saved, maybe we're doing something wrong. That's why the Hebrew writer of Hebrews, wants us to hold on to our faith with steadfastness. And I love the part of the passage where he says, "Consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And to do that, I believe we need to receive encouragement from one another. And part of the encouragement I need, and I think that we all need, is the encouragement found together in corporate worship, together as a faith family. When we worship together, we come as broken people, sinful people, but we come full of hope, full of excitement, full of Christ's love that transforms our lives and gives us eternal hope for the future. So we meet just as Christ instructs us to meet, week in, week out, daily, together, to encourage one another to live more boldly for Christ each and every day. So let me ask you, how do we worship? How do we worship together? Do we take it serious? There was a letter that's once written. Several pastors claim for it to be true, but I don't know. And it was a letter from a church member to a pastor during New Year's. So I'd like to share it with you all. Not sure if it's true, but it's a humorous way to look at the truth we sometimes see within churches. So this is an alleged New Year's letter written from a church member to a pastor, and it goes like this. "Dear pastor, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian, but I think a person has a right to miss now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and the number of times indicated. Christmas holidays, the Sunday before and after, that's two. New Year's, the get-together lasted too long, that's one. Easter, get away for the holidays, that's two. July 4th, that's one. Labor Day, need to get away, that's two. Memorial Day, visiting hometown folk, that's one. School closing, the kids need a break, that's one. School reopens, one last fling, that's one. Family reunions, mine, wife's, someone else's, that's three. Sleep late, stayed up too long Saturday, maybe I need to catch up on chores, nine there. Deaths in the family, unfortunately, that's two. Anniversary, this is an important one, second honeymoons, that's one. Sickness, one per member in each member in the household, that's five. A business trip, which is a must, one. Vacation, 3 or 4 weeks, that's six. Bad weather, you never know what could happen, that's two. Ball games, two. Races, two. Unexpected company, because you can't walk out on them, two. The time changes, that's two. And there's a special on TV every now and then, so that's three. So, Pastor, that leaves two Sundays per year. So you can count on us to be at church the fourth Sunday in February and the third Sunday in August, unless we are providentially hindered. Sincerely, a faithful church member. I thought that was funny. A funny way to look at the way sometimes people sometimes think. So back to my previous question. Do we really take worship serious? Now, I know many of you do. First and foremost, you're here. You're worshiping together. We are worshiping God together this morning. That's exciting. And it's also evident by the way you live. It's very evident by the way you live and that you want to serve Christ. I'm so proud to be part of a faith family that wants to live for Christ in such a dynamic way. That's exciting to see. And it's really evident by the way we're faithfully seeking ways to transition into new ways of ministry while keeping our traditions that have produced much fruit over the years. That's wonderful to see. But I must be honest, I'm also aware, I think we all are, of maybe a level of apathy that we sometimes have ourselves and we sometimes see in others that is sometimes present. And it really might be the most difficult thing to detect because it may be a level of apathy that most people don't even know about. Remember the illustration John Piper gave about the leaves? We can't be like them, simply moving because of whichever way the wind is going. We have to be purposeful in our motion, purposeful in our worship. That's why this morning, I believe we're taking an inventory of sorts. Because if we claim to be alive in Christ, yet do not seek to worship Him as a faith family, then I question our understanding about eternal life. If we claim to be alive in Christ, yet do not seek to worship Him as a faith family, do we really understand eternity with God? And you may ask, now Matt, that's an abrupt question. And it is an abrupt question. But if we look at verse 25, the issue about finding eternal value in worshiping our living Savior is an issue that's been ongoing for some time now. We've had the book of Hebrews for a long time. And as verse 25 says, we can't neglect meeting together. We must encourage one another. And at the end it says, all the more as the day is approaching. The day that is mentioned is the day that Jesus Christ will return here to earth to gather the church and take all of His followers to heaven to be with Him forever, worshiping God. That's why I believe that this is such an important issue we must discuss. If we want to worship God for eternity but do not want to worship God now, what makes anyone think that will change once we die? If we want to worship God for eternity but do not want to worship God now, week in and week out, what makes anyone think that'll change once we die and reach eternity? A little side story. For those of you who know me well, know I enjoy sports, specifically watching NC State play. And I know not everyone enjoys sports, so I do apologize for another sport analogy, but hopefully the point will be there. I want to tell you about a time several years ago when I was at an NC State football game, and everyone knows I enjoy going to those. My father has had season tickets forever. His father has had season tickets, or did forever, and now we do. And now that we can take Lillian, it's more of a family experience more than anything. And so we were at a night game. And we were at a night game playing a very good team where we weren't really projected to win. I know that's shocking. But State was doing really good. I mean, really good this time. It was amazing. It was coming down to the final minutes of the game. The whole game was going to come down to the very last drive. And so State had the ball, and in between each good play, they were marching down the field. It looked like they were going to score. The whole stadium would just erupt in cheers. It was just deafening. It was really amazing, and I thought it was exciting to be a part of something so energetic. I just loved hearing all the cheers and seeing them do good. It was wonderful. But I mean to tell you, as State was driving down the field, I stopped cheering very abruptly at that. They're still doing well. Everyone else is still cheering, and it's like something came over me, and I thought to myself, you know what? there's really no eternal value to this at all. I stood there and the fans are cheering and I'm watching them, you know, go down the field. Everybody's excited. And I'm like, there's really no value to the kingdom of God within this football game. Now, I don't say that to condemn sports or cheering for a team. Trust me, I still cheer very loudly. Lauren can attest to that. For my teams, enjoy watching them. But it did do this. It revealed my priorities. God used that time to check and see if I really understood God is supposed to be the most important priority in my life. I mean, He gave me life. And so that instance has helped me remember that we, as a church, must always understand the extreme importance to encourage one another and realize that priority is for all of us as Christ followers, and we all need extreme encouragement each and every day and weekly together as we worship together. I believe Christ calls us to put Him first in our lives as the number one priority. Part of that understanding is understanding the need for corporate worship as we look forward to eternally worshiping God together forever. So as we move toward a conclusion here, hopefully a way to apply our understanding of what the writer in Hebrews is doing and how we are supposed to connect to that encouragement and have that sense of urgency that we sense within the passage of Scripture, I have just a few more questions. Just a few more. I wonder what would happen if we applied the same standards of loyalty to our corporate worship responsibilities as a Christian as we do to other areas of our life. Think about this. If your car starts once every three tries, is it reliable? If the postman skipped delivery every Monday and Thursday, is he trustworthy? If you don't go to work once or twice a month, are you a reliable employee? If your fridge stops working every now and then, do you say, oh, well, it works most of the time? If your water heater provides an icy cold shower every now and then, is it dependable? If you skipped a couple of electricity bill payments, do you really think your utility company would understand? And what about this one? If you fail to worship God one or two Sundays a month, would you expect to be called a faithful Christian? We expect loyalty and reliability from things and other people. Isn't it reasonable then that God just might expect the same from us? Now, I'm not talking about missing an opportunity to worship God because of work. That's valid. That happens. Or because someone is sick. That happens. Or even because of the occasional vacation, of course. That just means you're worshiping somewhere else, right? I'm talking about the fact that we have to remember why we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in the first place. That is why we do what we do as a church, and the most important thing we can do as a church is worshiping God together forever, and forever begins now. So let's pray about that this morning. God, we come before You humbly this morning, knowing that You have brought us together for a time of worship. And as we worship You, Lord, we gather together to once again, proclaim Your Son, Jesus Christ, as the highest priority in our life, the one who gives us life. Lord, we know that is true from His perfect life, the example He gave us to live for You, the way He died on the cross so horrendously, and the way You rose Him from the dead 3 days later, as Scripture told us. We know that gives us life when we profess faith in it. So, Lord, as we go throughout the week before us here, we pray that You continue to speak to us as the writer of Hebrews spoke to the church then. Encourage us. Show us how to encourage one another. Show us how to look forward to the week ahead so we can gather once again to worship You next week. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now is the time for us to have a hymn of response. If you would turn to your hymn number 423. Maybe God's speaking to you in an interesting way. Maybe you have been praying about ways to give, a way to give your life to Jesus Christ and have Him be your Lord and Savior. I would love to talk to you about that. I'd love to pray for you over anything. Share a praise. I'll be right down here as Leonard leads us in our closing hymn. If you feel the need to come share, please do and come down to the front.
Thank you.
always look forward to our times of worship together. As you can see in the bulletin, there are many things going on. God is at work in such a powerful way through so many ministries within our church. Make sure to stay plugged in and sign up. Be available and be ready to see how God's going to work through everything we have planned. As you go through the week, continue to pray for everyone in the bulletin and be excited and encourage those you don't see to come back next Sunday as Gary will once again lead us in our worship service. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, as we close this time of worship, Lord, we know we're going to continue to show the way we worship you by the way we live. And Lord, we ask that we do that in a very dynamic way by the way you continue to encourage us and use your church to encourage us as well. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.